Thank you for joining us on Easy's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. Throughout the years, there have been incidents that become a binding moment for the nation. You know, it's one of those moments that everyone remembers exactly where they were when it happened. In the 60s, it was the day John F. Kennedy was shot. In the 80s, everyone remembers where they were when they heard that the Shuttle Challenger had exploded. And in the 21st century, nothing has been as impactful as 9/11, the destruction of the Twin Towers, the loss of 3,000 lives, and the demonstrations of heroism from the folks who brought down the flight in Pennsylvania and the first responders who went up into the towers at the same time as everyone else was rushing to get out. Next weekend, it's unbelievable, it's here already, it marks the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And no matter what your views are on the wars that followed or the evolution of terrorism against the United States and the Western world, the one thing that we can all agree on and that we hope no one ever forgets is that our first responders are some of the most courageous, caring, committed people our country has raised. Since 2001, the first responders at the Twin Towers have had to deal with a number of challenges, some from injuries sustained while saving lives, many from health conditions that developed later as a result of being in the toxic environment around the towers, and then, of course, there's coping with the loss of life of people that they hoped to save but couldn't, and losing their own friends and family members who were by their side during the initial rescue and later search and recovery. Today, we have some folks who are here to tell us about an organization that is doing incredible work helping those first responders. It's the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation, and I am really excited to welcome Vicky Cassis, the Regional Race Director of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, and Maxine Gomez, Race Director for the Fort Lauderdale Tunnel to Towers 5K Run coming up next Saturday. Guys, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Ellen. Beautiful introduction.
Thank you. I know this is something that has to be really close to your heart. Vicky, you've been involved with the Tunnel to Towers Run since the beginning. Tell me how you got involved and why.
Well, oddly enough, I actually heard of Stephen's story. And real quick, for those that don't know Stephen's story, he was a firefighter with the New York Fire Department, and he was actually off duty. And he had a beautiful wife and five beautiful children, the youngest one also with a heart defect. Anyway, he was on his way home. He was going to play golf with his five brothers, or he actually has three brothers, but he's one of five siblings. But he was on his way home to play golf, and he heard it on his scanner, and he called his wife. He said, "Tell my brothers I'm going to be late. I may not make it. I'm going back." And he went back to his firehouse, and his brothers had already left. So he grabbed his gear, got in his truck, and started through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. He got gridlocked pretty quickly as people were rushing out. He grabbed his gear, threw it on his back, and started to run.
Incredible.
And he ran all the way to the towers, and Stephen was lost that day. They never did find him. And he left behind, like I said, a beautiful wife and children. I was living in South Florida, and I was working for a property management company, Lincoln Property Company, and I heard his story, and so we decided we wanted to do something. So we started raising money for his wife. Mm-hmm. Right after 9/11, we sent her a check for Christmas for $30,000.
Wow.
And it was grassroots, raising money. They didn't even know who we were.
And that's it. That's the truly remarkable thing, is you're doing this for a complete stranger.
Yes. I mean, we just heard his story actually from my sister's daughter's brownie troop.
Wow.
This is how, I mean, there's always, it's just divine intervention. It's just unbelievable. So I get a call from the Siller brother, and he said, "Who are you people in Florida?" I said, "We're good people down here in South Florida,
yeah, okay?
Yeah. And we wanted to do something." And that's how I got involved. Ever since then, they're like your family. So we volunteered, and then they started the 5K races. South Florida's had one for 5 years. It's been here in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. And Maxine, why do you do this?
Well, first of all, I've heard that story so many times, and I get the chills every time I hear it. It's I actually started by running in the race, and if you haven't seen the race, the firemen run it in full gear as a tribute to 9/11. And I was so inspired watching them, because you're running next to them about to give up in your sweat of the South Florida heat, and you look over and you realize, if they can do it, I can do it.
Right.
And I'm always one of these people that likes to dig into the details, and I wanted to know where the foundation was and what they did. And I came to find Vicky and I called her up and I said, I want to get involved. And turns out I run a restoration company.
Right. Dry Tech 24/7.
Mm-hmm. So I clean up after these firemen, you know, do water and fire damage.
Gosh,
so
right.
I see what they live firsthand
right.
because I'm there after the fact. And knowing what they put their lives at stake through every day, I just said, you can't build your community if you're not actually rebuilding your community.
You know, we all have the image of the towers falling, but we don't all have an image like you have in your mind of what it looks like after a fire has destroyed something. Can you just give us a quick, like a run through of a house that you've done a restoration on and what it looks like?
Well, generally when I get a phone call, somebody's having a bad day. And I don't always get to see the firemen there, but I see the aftermath of it, and it's usually a devastated family having been comforted by these first responders. They salvage what they can. And I mean, we've seen everything from small kitchen fires to a house totally encompassed.
And what does it look like when everything's, I mean, what does a floor look like? What does the furniture look like?
Oh.
Is there anything even remaining?
No. It just looks like somebody came through with black paint and covered your entire house, and you can't touch anything that was once your home.
And these first responders go into that. They go into what causes that to bring people out.
Absolutely. And they do it without hesitation and on a daily basis.
Wow. How did the foundation actually start? You had were raising all this money. When did they decide to take it, become an official foundation, and start really working on behalf of all of the first responders?
Well, right after 9/11, that following year, they started the foundation, the Stephen Siller Let Us Do Good Children's Foundation. And when they started that, the idea was to give back to children that had lost one or more, both parents at 9/11. And then, of course, it quickly grew. We went to war. And so they expanded that. And then they thought, you know, we can do a lot of other things because now we have our veterans coming home without, you know, they're coming home with no legs. Some of them come home with nothing, no arms, no mm-hmm. legs. So they decided, you know, we want to do something. We want to start another program, which is called Building for America's Bravest. And that program builds smart homes for catastrophically wounded veterans. And these guys are out there. They're so young. They're most of them in their early 20s. They come home. They come back to their families. And they have to learn all over again. They have to start over again. I can't even tell you. I get emotional when I think about it because these kids are fighting for our freedom. And so it's pretty emotional. It just moves you.
Yeah.
And so our foundation now, what we do is incredible. We bring them home and we take care of them. And they have beautiful homes. And they're specialty homes. The cabinets drop down.
Right.
The countertops raise. If they're a burn victim, the windows are filtrated. You don't think about that, but you can't have that hot sun coming through your windows. They've got to have special blinds that can be closed, remote control. You know, spinal injuries that we do that they can't move from the neck down, they actually use their eyes to control an iPad to turn
on
the TV.
Amazing, amazing how technology has been able to help medically. And we've spoken with the folks from Mission United here who work through United Way specifically for veterans. And, you know, I want to mention it because there are people in Florida who are as impacted. It's not just the first responders who were at the tower on 9/11. It's all of those who follow along and folks from here who went to fight these wars that resulted.
Yes. I mean, we as the foundation want people to understand that we're at war because of what happened in 9/11. It's a perfect succession for us to be doing this for our veterans coming home. We're actually dedicating a home on 9/11 in Cape Coral.
Wow.
And he gets his home on 9/11. It's going to be a pretty spectacular event. His name is Corey Kent, and Corey's getting his home on 9/11, and Corey's probably, I would say, maybe 25, 26 years old, newly married. he came home and his girlfriend was with him and stuck with him, and they got married, and now they're getting their home on 9/11. So it's a big celebration for us at the foundation.
Time. And I have to, you know, my heart goes out, too, to the people who wait for their loved ones to come back and stay with them, even through the trauma. That, to me, is just as heroic. Obviously, all of this takes money. And the Tunnel to Towers 5K has turned into a really fun way of raising money to support these programs that are helping not only first responders, but the veterans as well. The Fort Lauderdale 5K is next weekend. It's Saturday.
Yes. Yep.
Give us some details.
It's Saturday on September 10th. The race begins at 7:30. And I want to make sure everybody knows it's a 5K run or walk. you know, we also have veterans come out there. We have people that are in wheelchairs. We have strollers. We have babies. We have, it's a family event. Lots of fun.
Yes, if you're not a runner, the spectator sport involved is fantastic because people really show up to support the runners and cheer for them.
Wow.
Watching the firemen run is very emotional, and people get very patriotic and into the spirit. And of course, there's an after party. So,
I have gotta love that. And who doesn't want to party with a fireman?
Exactly. It's pretty impressive, too, to see these guys running in full gear. As Maxine said earlier, we do a challenge. It's called the Stephen Siller Steel Award. And it's a challenge of four or five firemen running in gear as a team. And they take home this amazing trophy that it's kind of like a roving Stanley Cup, but it's actually got steel from Ground Zero in the shape of the Twin Towers. And it's on this big base. So they run for that to win that award and be the proud members to have that there in Firehouse. So it's just fun. It's a fun, fun, fun event. And this year we're going to have a band and we're going to have lots of people, lots of vendors coming out. And like Maxine said, then you got to stay for the after party because that's really fun.
So we get together at Huizenga Park, downtown Fort Lauderdale. I mean, this has been the starting place for so many different 5Ks, but this one is really special. And it starts at 7:30. Do people have to pre-register or can they register on site?
They can register on site, but if they choose to do that, they need to be there very early because we usually have about 1,200 to 1,500 people, participants. You can register at T2TRun.org, and you just select Fort Lauderdale. We have several 5Ks across the nation. We also do stair climbs, so you'll see them on our website. We've got one in Miami also that's coming up. They're doing a 5K run walk, and also you can branch off and do a stair climb.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different, and I don't know a lot of the details because it's our first year in Miami, and we're still working out the details.
Okay.
But it will go through that Miami tunnel as well.
Okay.
So, and you know, the one here in Fort Lauderdale goes through the Broward Tunnel, which makes it very special. Out of all of our races that we do across the nation, there's only really three areas that have a tunnel that really represents what Stephen did.
What is the actual course route? Starting from Huizenga Park.
It does leave Huizenga Park. It goes through the Broward Tunnel. It goes by the waterside. I'm trying to remember exactly what that is. And then comes back around. And you finish back at Huizenga Park. It's the same start-finish line.
Okay. Well, you know what? We have links up on our Community Connections page at easy93.com. And they go straight to the registration and all of the information. So if people are concerned about, you know, they don't think they can actually do the walk or the run, they can find places along the route if they want to keep cheering on the participants. So you'll be able to see the route. And then, of course, you know, stop by the Vendor Village. You don't have to pay to come to Vendor Village,
right? No, no. Okay. And none of the things that are in the Vendor Village, nobody will be charging for things. Everybody has been wonderful. We have some wonderful sponsors and partners that have agreed to donate. And, you know, they'll have stuff out there, giveaways for the kids. And the Panthers are bringing out their bounce house for the kids.
Awesome.
So it's truly a family event.
Now, this after party that you keep telling us about, Maxine, what's that going to be about and where is it?
Well, I don't want to give away all the details because we do have some surprises and raffles and guest appearances. But the idea is that the race ends around 9:30. And by then, people can have some time to relax at the Vendor Village. We have some fantastic sponsors. Like Vicky mentioned, the Panthers have a bounce house. We have Crave Jerky giving samples. We have United Claims Specialist. We have Uproot Hoot Nanny singing live throughout the race. And then as people mosey on over to the Tilted Kilt, they have been generous to donate 50% of sales for that day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we encourage people to come on over, have lunch. All runners and firemen get a free beer at Tilted Kilt. So please come over, and there's lots of lively entertainment there as well.
And great food.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yes.
Food.
Very good.
Yeah, you'll need to nourish yourself after a good 5K in September in Florida.
Absolutely.
Okay. What is, you know, some of the people who have been to the race in the past, have you met people who have personal connections to 9/11? You know, it's like it's kind of personal for all of us because we were all impacted, but it's even more so for someone who knew someone, or like my cousin worked in the tower. She was late that day because her daughter was late getting ready to drop her at kindergarten. So, yeah. You know, so many people have those little stories.
Well, and you hear so much doing what we do. You hear the story all the time, people, and especially in Florida, we have a lot of people, you know, a lot of New Yorkers transplant
yes.
down here, or they
yes.
come seasonally. We have people that come and they now come for September. They stay for this run before they go back north. I had a man call me the other day, and he actually was in 9/11, retired firefighter. He's got a lot of medical issues from that cleanup, from mm-hmm. being in the buildings when it happened, a lot of lung issues. But he said, I've got to come out. I'm not healthy, but I want to come out and support the firemen that are there locally. And also, I want to honor my brothers and, you know, sisters and that died that day, everybody that died that day. It's the 15th anniversary. And I think emotions are really raw when you think 15. I mean, we have kids that don't even realize what we've all lived through.
Right.
And just as you mentioned, Ellen, even if you don't have a direct connection there, everybody remembers where they were.
Oh,
so that's always the topic of conversation.
To the second.
Oh, I was here, and this is what was mm-hmm. happening in my life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear it as a common strain throughout the race. People are talking
trading
about
stories,
trading
right?
stories, absolutely.
There has to be a tremendous sense of bonding that goes on there.
Yes. I mean, and the firefighters in Fort Lauderdale and also the surrounding, I don't want to leave out Pembroke Pines and Boynton and you know, all of them, but the Fort Lauderdale Fire Department here really has supported this since we started this race 5 years ago.
Right.
And those guys, they're connected. You know, it is a true brotherhood as a fireman and a first responder, EMT, and our police officers. I mean, the local police officers come out. They also compete in a running award. We call it the Hero Award,
right?
Because they are our heroes, and they've had some tragedies in police departments. In fact, the foundation, we gave money to the two police officers in New York that were shot. We raised and paid off the mortgages for those two police
wow.
officers. And in turn, those wives went with our foundation to Dallas, and we donated another $500,000 to those families that lost those five officers in Dallas. So we do a lot of great things for our first responders. You know,
I'm
happy that nothing has happened here for us in Fort Lauderdale. But, you know, all these proceeds from this run really support first responders, our heroes coming home. Anything we can do, we're a foundation built on volunteers like Maxine. You know, we're thankful for people like her that come out and give their time. And, you know, we're very lean. 93%
wow.
of our dollar goes back to our program.
And Ellen, there's so many opportunities to be involved with different organizations, and people don't always get to. I'm very lucky in that I found Vicki and the Steven Siller Foundation because I want to make sure that the dollars go where they say they are.
Exactly.
And because you see that it is a volunteer-based foundation, we really are able to help that many people, and these efforts are worthwhile. So,
what kind of things can people do from Florida if they want to volunteer, in addition to participating in the race and helping to raise funds?
Well, they can go back to that website, t2trun.org, mm-hmm. and they can go in and register, but they select volunteer. There's no cost.
Okay.
That way they can go through, they can register, and their name will be on our list. And then we also have a volunteer tent at the race. So if they just wake up that morning and they're inspired on the anniversary of 9/11, come on down, go straight to the tent and say, I want to volunteer. We need volunteers for a race this size. It takes about 100 volunteers. So, you know, giving back is so, so, so important.
It really is. And especially to those who have given so much of themselves. And I imagine there also must be a tremendous amount of emotional healing that takes place.
It's unbelievable. It's such a happy, emotional event. you get so it's just an array of emotions. People that are coming across the finish line, they're inspired by the firefighters in gear. They're inspired by moms that are pushing carriages. They're inspired by our challenged, you know, veterans that are there that are coming across in wheelchairs or in, you know, on their prosthetic legs coming across that finish line. It makes you understand that sometimes the little things in life, like road rage, it's not important. This is not important stuff.
Yes.
I like to say it's kind of like a double shot of espresso to the soul because not only do the visitors and spectators leave inspired, but with so much going on right now that you see in the news, our firemen, policemen, first responders who run the race really feel the support of the people who show up.
Absolutely. I urge people to please come out. And, you know, we were talking before we actually started the program. We were laughing and joking. And I want to remind people, this is not a heavy, maudlin, you know, you're going to feel really terrible kind of event. It's in honor. It's in memory. Absolutely. But I think inspiring is the best word that you just used. And showing the people who give so much for us that we support them and we thank them for what they do.
It's a lot of fun, and we try to make it as much fun as possible. With the music and the hype, and everybody's excited. You get up so early in the morning, and it's beautiful as the sun rises, and you're just there, and it's euphoric. Euphoric.
I can't wait.
And that really is the best way to commemorate those that we've lost, is to celebrate the ones we have.
Yes.
So it is a family event. It's much more of a party. It's not something you're going to be depressed at. We're there to have a good time and remind people what we're there for.
Okay. So the details, you know, the race starts at 7:30, but how early will the park be open?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay.
6 o'clock. And as I said, if you don't register ahead of time, then just go ahead and show up, but show up early. There will be a registration tent.
Okay.
If you've registered early and didn't get time to pick up your packet pickup, which will be at
Running Wild.
Running Wild is doing our packet pickup. So if you don't get there to pick up your packet, you can come race day, but again, arrive early.
Okay. Huizenga Park, we're going to be there with Easy 93.1 and our Cox Media group, Vicky Cassis, Maxine Gomez. You'll be there directing.
You'll definitely want to be there early. There's special messages from our chief and other elected officials. And also Devin Shatuk, he's going to be singing our national anthem.
He's 12 years old.
School of Rock of Coral Springs. And he puts on a fantastic performance. So you'll definitely want to see that.
Early. Okay, so it's coming up this Saturday, September 10th, Huizenga Park, downtown Fort Lauderdale. Park opens at 6. The race begins at 7:30. You can register on site, or you can go to t2trun.org. And the link is also on our community connections page at easy93.com. Vicky Cassis, regional director for the Tunnel to Towers 5K, and Maxine Gomez, one of the sponsors of the race with DryTech 24/7, and also the Fort Lauderdale Walk director. You guys are doing such fantastic work. Thank you. I'm going to see you Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you. We're so happy you're coming, too.
Looking forward to it.
And continuing the program now, I am always happy to welcome back the president of United Teachers of Dade, especially, you know, school just underway for a couple of weeks, to keep us up to date on what's going on, Carla Hernandez-Matz.
Oh, thank you for inviting me once again. It's always a pleasure to speak to you and your audience.
Well, it's interesting. It's Labor Day weekend, and since you are the president of United Teachers of Dade, you are a union. This must be kind of a special weekend for you to acknowledge what the unions do for the members.
It certainly is. It's also United Teachers of Dade birthday weekend, and we are 43 years old. We've been in the community for 43 years. We are the first union in the South to actually integrate. We had a black teachers union and a white teachers union, and 43 years ago, we were able to integrate and form United Teachers of Dade. We are very proud of that fact, and of course, we're proud of everything that the labor movement has done, because the labor movement has brought to you weekends, you know,
right.
People take that for granted.
Right.
Work weeks that have a limited amount of hours, 40-hour work weeks, weekends, holidays. sick leave, personal days, vacation,
right.
a lot of great things into our communities.
What are some of the important things that you feel the union provides for our teachers?
Well, it definitely provides advocacy. You know, there are certain things that impact our working conditions, which impact our students' learning environment. And so it's always important for us to note that what we do in the classroom with our students, everything is in tandem. If it impacts us as teachers, it's going to impact the student that's in our classroom. And there are policies that come down, you know, from Tallahassee that impact our teaching methods and therefore impact our student learning. And so, you know, we're always advocating for better policies. You know, it's a fact that a lot of people don't know, you know, teachers are the ones that realize that some students were coming into school and they were hungry and they couldn't learn properly because they were hungry. And so we were able to advocate for lunch and free and reduced. Miami Dade County Public Schools offers free breakfast for every single student in every school in our district.
That's huge.
Because we understand how important it is for our students to be, you know, healthy physically so that they can perform academically. Mm-hmm. And so teachers are big advocates. We are the best advocate for the student because we're with them all day. And so, you know, we want better raises. We want better working conditions. We want proper planning time so that we can be as effective as possible for our students. And all good things because we know that we're impacting our future. You know, teachers are wonderful. And I know that I'm a teacher, and so
right.
I believe that about all my colleagues. But I do really believe that it is the noblest profession out there.
Pretty much public servants are the lifeblood of our community. As a teacher and as someone, Carla, who has gone and advocated for your fellow teachers, for the community, for the union of teachers, to our state reps, how frustrating is it that people who are not teachers are making the policies for the teachers?
Oh, it's terrible. It is really heartbreaking at times, frustrating most of the times, that people would think so lightly of our profession and what we do. You know, we have people that know nothing about education and want to make all the policies, and most of them don't make sense. And, you know, it's very unfair. It's an unfair system. You would never do that to another profession. And so it brings a lot of questions into play. You know, is it because we're a predominantly female workforce? That they would do something like that to us? Is it because we work with children and, you know, people think they don't have a voice? I'm not sure. But it is a very sad situation when you have so many politicians that feel that they can be experts at something that they've never done, and they never ask us to sit at the table. And so we can do better, and we should do better, and we need to be more involved. You know, not only teachers as our own advocates for our students, but we need our parents to be advocates with us. We need them to be standing with us and helping us spread that message and really letting people know how important public education is and the things that should be happening in our schools with our students.
You know, we have such easy contact, seemingly, through the internet to send letters or sign petitions and get them to our representatives. From your experience, do the representatives read these letters, and can it make a difference?
It certainly does. They can read the letters. They do. I mean, I don't know if they read every single one. I cannot vouch for them on that. But, you know, sending them not only emails, but, you know, a letter, a hard letter, something tangible that they can see sitting on their desk. You know, that's important. Advocacy, going to their offices. They all have local offices. Visit them. Give them a call and let them know what your stance is and, you know, what you feel they should be helping, how they should be promoting certain policies, or how they should not be voting on certain policies. All those things are important. Involvement is key because, remember, they are either seeking to be reelected or they're seeking to make sure that there's still good public opinion about them. And so our opinion does matter, and that's why we need to stay involved.
And also remember that they're our hired help. They work for us.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
Don't feel bad if you're taking their time. That's what they're there for. That's why it's called a representative.
Right.
As a representative for teachers, I know since you became president, you've made it one of your key goals to really work with the whole well-being of the teachers. I know you had the first ever event, a wellness day for teachers. How did that go, and what are some of the other things that you're looking forward to doing to help the teachers?
Well, it was a great event. event. Yeah, we had it in May, and it was about really helping educators release some stress. And that goes back to all of the concepts and topics that we've talked about previously. You know, there are these laws that are impacting us directly in the classroom. Teacher autonomy is being taken away. There's a lot of pressure to perform, to do well on specific tests. And so all of these things are really creating a lot of stress on people. And so we thought it was important for us to provide our professionals an event where they could de-stress. And so we did some fun things like Tai Chi and yoga and Zumba. And we had smoothies and just a fun time. And it's important that we do that because as a union, not only do we advocate, obviously, for policies, but we care about the well-being, you know, the holistic concept. We want to make sure that our, you know, education professionals are strong mind, body, and soul. And so we want to make sure that we are able to provide opportunities like that whenever possible. Because it's important. It's important for us to decompress and to refocus so that we can continue to do the work that we do in our classrooms every day, which is impacting our young minds and the future.
You know, I ask you pretty much every time we talk to reiterate what parents can do to help, and it always comes back to their involvement. How do you bring parents and teachers together to discuss how the children are doing and what they can do to help them do better?
Right now, I tell you, it's a perfect time to get to know your teacher. We've only been in school for a few weeks now. Hopefully, you're back in the rhythm of everything. You're checking for homework, and you're making sure that all of those things are being done in a timely manner. That's important. We want our children to feel successful, and if you're able to create good habits from the beginning of the school year, they truly will carry on and make a big impact. But get to know your teachers. You know, teachers want to be there to support you, and if there's any situation happening in the household that they should be aware of, you should make them aware of that. There's transitions, sometimes there's divorces, sometimes there could be a death in the family, and those things are going to impact our students' behavior. And we want to know those things so that we can respond appropriately and help them through those situations as well, because sometimes we're not privy to what's happening in the home. But, you know, we want you to be involved. You should go on field trips with your child if you can. Come to open house. Send a note to your teacher. Just stay involved because that is fundamental. I remember that my dad would work very hard every single day, but he made every extracurricular activity for me because he wanted to show me that he could support me and that he would support me in everything that I wanted to do. And that goes a long way. So I encourage parents, as tired as you may be, as hard as it may seem, that little extra effort that you put, your children are going to remember that.
Maybe you can recommend some resources for parents. There are some who, as you say, they work really hard. Some parents are raising their kids on their own. They're working two jobs. What resources can they go to get the help they need to then help their kids?
Schools have a community involvement specialist. I would say that that's the first person that they should contact because that person will know exactly what resources exist within their community. They are usually somewhere in the office area. But contact them and find out what resources exist. There are online things. There's this great resource called Colorín Colorado. It's a free web-based resource for parents and for students, children that are English language learners, things that they can do as a family, things that they can do, you know, for the student. And there's just so many things. Look at your public school website as well. There are resources there. But, you know, if you have not found that person, the first person that you should contact is probably their teacher, because that will not only give the teacher a better idea of what you can offer or, you know, how you need help, and they'll be able to guide you in a better direction. But it's very important to be involved.
All right. Well, I, and I'm sure everyone in our community, appreciates what you are doing as president of United Teachers of Dade, looking out for the teachers and the students and the parents. So thank you so much. Carla Hernandez, Matt's president of United Teachers of Dade. If you want more information, the website is
utd.org.
All right. Good luck. And we will speak to you again as the school year progresses. Take care, Carla.
Thank you.
You've been listening to EASY's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. Please feel free to make comments or suggest a topic by emailing me at ellen@easy93.com. Thanks for listening.